and the watchman's voice floated over the city and across the marshes. 11 o'clock, and all's well. The Clotilda was taken directly to 12 Mile Island, a lonely, weird place by night. There, Captain Foster and the mayors awaited the R.B. Taney, named for Chief Justice Taney of the Dred Scott decision fame. Some say it was the June instead of the Taney. Lights were smoothed, and in the darkness, quickly and quietly, the captives were transferred from the Clotilda to the steamboat and taken up the Alabama River to John Dabney's plantation below Mount Vernon. They were landed the next day and left in charge of the slave James Dennison. At 12 Mile Island, the crew of Northern sailors again mutinied. Captain Foster, with a six-shooter in each hand, went among them, discharged them, and ordered them to hit the grit and never be seen in southern waters again. They were placed aboard the tug and carried to Mobile. One of the mayors bought them tickets and saw that they boarded a train for the north. The Clotilda was scuttled and fired. Captain Foster himself placed 7 cords of light wood upon her. Her hull still lies in the marsh at the mouth of Bayou Corn and can be seen at low tide. Foster afterwards regretted her destruction, as she was worth more than the 10 Africans given him by the mayors as his booty. The Africans were kept at Dabney's place for 11 days, being only allowed to talk in whispers and being constantly moved from place to place. At the end of the 11th day, clothes were brought to them, and they were put aboard the steamer Commodore and carried to the bend in Clark County, where the Alabama and the Tombigbee Rivers meet, and where Burns Mayer had a plantation. There they were lodged each night under a wagon shed, and driven each morning before daybreak back into the swamp, where they remained until dark. Mayer sent word secretly to those disposed to buy. They were piloted to the place of concealment by Dennison. The Africans were placed in 2 long rows, men in 1 row, women in the other. Some couples were bought and taken to Selma. The remainder were divided up among the mayors and Foster. Captain Jim Mayer took 32, 16 couples. Captain Burns Mayer took 10 Africans. Foster received 10, and Captain Tim Mayer took 8. Finally, after a period of adjustment, the slaves were put to work. Before a year had passed, the War of Secession broke out. With the danger from interference from the federal government removed, all the Africans not sold to Selma were brought to the Mayer plantations at Magazine Point. Nevertheless, the Mayers were tried in the federal courts, 1860 to 61, and fined heavily for bringing in the Africans. The village that these Africans built after freedom came, they called African Town. The town is now called Plateau, Alabama. The new name was bestowed upon it by the Mobile and Birmingham Railroad, now a part of the Southern Railroad system built through the town. But still, its dominant tone is African. With these things already known to me, I once more sought the ancient house of the man called Cudjo. This singular man, who says of himself, Edem etie ucum edem etie upar. The tree of 2 woods, literally 2 trees that have grown together. One part ucum, mahogany, and one part upar, ebony. He means to say, partly a free man, partly free. The only man on earth who has in his heart the memory of his African home, the horrors of a slave raid, the barracoon, the Lenten tones of slavery, and who has 67 years of freedom in a foreign land behind him. How does one sleep with such memories beneath the pillow? How does a pagan live with a Christian God? How has the Nigerian heathen borne up under the process of civilization? I was sent to ask. Chapter 1. It was summer when I went to talk with Cudjo, so his door was standing wide open. But I knew he was somewhere about the house before I entered the yard, because I had found the gate unlocked. When Cudjo goes down into his back field or away from home, he locks his gate with an ingenious wooden peg of African invention. I hailed him by his African name as I walked up the steps to his porch, and he looked up into my face as I stood in the door in surprise. He was eating his breakfast from a round, enameled pan with his hands, in the fashion of his fatherland. The surprise of seeing me halted his hand between pan and face. Then tears of joy welled up. "Oh, Laura, I know it. You call my name. Nobody don't call him my name from across the water but you. You always call him me, Kazula, just like I in the Africa soil." I noted that another man sat eating with him, and I wondered why. So I said, "I see you have company, Kazula." "Yeah, I got to have somebody stay with me. I've been sick in the bed the 5 month. I needed somebody to hand me some water. So I take this man and he sleep here and take care, Cudjo. But I get it well now." In spite of the recent illness and the fact that his well had fallen in, I found Cudjo Lewis full of gleaming goodwill. His garden was planted, there was deep shade under his chinaberry tree, and all was well. He wanted to know a few things about New York, and when I had answered him, he sat silently smoking. Finally, I told him I had come to talk with him. He removed his pipe from his mouth and smiled. "I don't care," he said. "I like to have company come see me." Then the smile faded into a wretched, weeping mask. "I'm so lonely. My wife, she left me since the 1908. Cudjo all by himself." After a minute or two, he remembered me and said contritely, "Excuse me, you didn't do nothing to me. Cudjo feels so lonely, he can't help he cries sometime. What you want with me?" "First, I want to ask you how you feel today." Another muted silence, then he said, "I thank God I own praying ground and in a Bible country." "But didn't you have a God back in Africa?" I asked him. His head dropped between his hands, and the tears sprung fresh. Seeing the anguish in his face, I regretted that I had come to worry this captive in a strange land. He read my face and said, "Excuse me, I cry. I can't help it when I hear the name call. Oh, Lord, I no see African soil no more." Another long silence. Then, "How come you asked me ain't we had no God back there in Africa?" "Because you said thank God you were on praying ground and in a Bible country." "Yeah, in Africa we always know there was a God. He name Alawa. But po' Africans, we can't read the Bible, so we don't know God got a son. We ain't ignorant. We just don't know. Nobody don't tell us about Adam eating the apple. We didn't know the seven seas were sealed against us. Our parents don't tell us that. They didn't tell us about the first days, no. That's all right. We just don't know. So that what you come after me?" I temporized. "Well, yes. I wanted to ask that, but I want to ask you many things. I want to know who you are, and how you came to be a slave, and to what part of Africa do you belong, and how you fared as a slave, and how you have managed as a free man." Again his head was bowed for a time. When he lifted his wet face again, he murmured, "Thank you, Jesus. Somebody come asked about Cudjo. I won't tell somebody who I is. So maybe they go into Africa soil someday and call him my name, and somebody dare say, 'Yeah, I know Kazula.' I want you everywhere you go to tell everybody what Cudjo say. And how come I in America soil since the 1859 and never see my people no more? I can't talk it plain, you understand me, but I calls it word by word for you, so it won't be too crooked for you. My name is not Cudjo Lewis, it Kazula. When I giddy in America soil, Mr. Jim Mayer, he try calling my name, but it too long, you understand me? So I say, 'Well, are you property?' He say, 'Yeah.' Then I say, you calling me Kojo, that do. But in Afriki soil, my mama, she named me Kozula. My people, you understand me? They ain't got no ivory by they door. When it ivory from the elephant stand by the door, then that a king or ruler, you understand me? My father, neither his father, don't rule nobody. The old folks that lived 200 years before I born, don't tell me the father, remote ancestor, rule nobody. My people in Afriki, you understand me? They not rich. That's the truth now. I'm not going telling you my folks they rich and come from high blood. Then when you go into Africa's soil and ask to the people, they say, well, Kozula over there in America's soil telling the folks he rich? I tell you like your tears. Now, that's right, ain't it? My father's father, you understand me, he a officer of the king. He don't live in the compound with us. Wherever the king go, he go, you understand me? The king give him plenty land and get plenty cows and goats and sheep. Now, that's right. Maybe after a while he be a little chief, I don't know. But he die when I little boy. What he going to be later on, that don't reach me. My grandpa, he a great man. I tell you how he go. I was afraid that Kojo might go off on a tangent, so I cut in with, but Kozula, I want to hear about you and how you lived in Africa. He gave me a look full of scornful pity and asked, where is the house where the mouse is the leader? In the Africa soil, I can't tell you about the son before I tell you about the father. And therefore, you understand me, I can't talk about the man who is father, ite, till I tell you about the man who he father to him, ite, grandfather. Now, that's right, ain't it? My grandpa, you understand me, he got the great big compound. He got plenty wives and children. His house, it is in the center of the compound. In Africa, so the house of the husband, it always in the center. And the houses of the wives, they in a circle round the house the husband live in. He don't think himself to marry with so many women. No. In the Africa soil, it the wife that go find him another wife. Suppose I in the Africa soil. Kojo, he been married for 7 years, for example. His wife said, Kojo, I'm growing old. I tired. I will bring you another wife. Before she speak of that, she got the girl who he don't know in her mind. She a girl she think very nice. Maybe her husband never see her. Well, she go out in the marketplace, maybe in the public square. She see this a girl and asking the girl, you know Kojo. The girl tell you, I've heard of him. The wife say Kojo is good. He is kind. I like you to be his wife. The girl say, come with me to my papa and mama. They go, you understand me, to the girl's parents together. They ask her questions, and she answer for her husband. She ask them questions, too. And if both sides satisfied with one another, the girl's parents say, we give our daughter into your care. She ain't ours no more. You be good to her. The wife, she come back to Kojo and make any arrangements. Kojo got to pay the father for the girl. If she be a rich girl that been in the fat house long time, you understand me, he got to pay two of everything for. Two cow, two sheep, two goat, chickens, yeah, maybe gold. The rich man keep his daughter in the fat house long time, sometime 2 year. She get it a dinner in there 8 times a day, and they don't leave her get in and out of bed by herself. The one what keep the fat house, he lift them in and out so they don't lose the fat. The man not so rich, he can't keep his girl there long, so she not so fat. So poor man don't send his daughter. Therefore, you understand me, the man pay different price for different girl. If she the daughter of a poor family, for she been married before or something, he don't pay much for her. When the new wife come first to her husband compound, she live in the house with the old wife. She teach her what to do and how to take care of the husband. When she learn all that, then she have a house by herself. When they get it ready to build it, the new house, the man take it, the machete, and chopped a palm tree to mark the place where the house gonna be built. Then he throw down a cow and have plenty of palm wine. Then all the people come and eat the meat and drink the wine and stomp the place smooth and builded the house. My grandpa, he built the wife house many time. Some men in the Africa so don't get no wife 'cause they can't buy none. They ain't got nothing to give, so a wife can come to them. Some got too many. When you hungry, it is painful. But when the belly too full, it painful too. All the wives make food, udia, for the husband. All the men, they like it, the fufu. He eat it the big calabash full to the top with fufu. Then my grandpa, he lay down to sleep. The young wives, before they are old enough to take up the actual duties of wifehood, help put the husband to sleep. One make a wind farm with a fan. Another one rub the head. Maybe one clean the hands and somebody look after the toenails. Then he sleepy and snore. Somebody stand guard before the door so nobody make noise and wakey him. Sometimes the son of a slave in the compound make it too much noise. The man would stand guard, catch him, and take him to my grandpa. He sit up and look at the boy so. Then he asked him, "Whoever tell you that the mouse can walk across the roof of the mighty? Where is that Portuguese man? I swap you for tobacco. In the olden days, I walk on your skin. That is, I would kill you and make shoes from your hide. I drink water from your skull. I would have killed you and used your head for a drinking cup." My grandpa say that, but he don't never ask the chief to sell nobody to the Portuguese. Some chief, they get him mad when their slave talk is so sassy and don't do work like they tell him. Then they sell him to the Portuguese. The chief throw orange under the table. Then he call the slave boy he go and sell and say to the boy, "Pick me the orange under the table." The boy stoop under the table. The chief got a man standing there, maybe two. When the boy go under the table to get the orange, the chief say, "Kitchy the bushman." The man grab the boy and sell him. The chief, he ain't always glad. One day the wife die. She's still in the old wife's house and ain't never been no wife to the chief yet. She too young. Why she die, Cudjo don't know. When day come to tell the chief his young wife dead, he go up. He slap his hand on his wrist, then he scream in his fist and cry. He say, yeah, my wife dead. All my goods wasted. I pay big price for her. I fattened her, and now she dead, and I never sleep with her once. Yeah, I lose so much. She dead and still a virgin. Yeah, 2 years. I have a great loss. Cudjo looked out over his patch of pole beans towards the house of his daughter-in-law. I waited for him to resume, but he just sat there not seeing me. I waited, but not a sound. Presently he turned to the man sitting inside the house and said, "Go fetch me some cool water." The man took the pail and went down the path between the rows of pole beans to the well in the daughter-in-law's yard. He returned, and Kasula gulped down a healthy cupful from a homemade tin cup. Then he sat and smoked his pipe in silence. Finally, he seemed to discover that I was still there. Then he said brusquely, "Go leave me alone, cut your tired. Come back tomorrow. Don't come in the morning, 'cause then I'll be in the garden. Come when it hot, then cut you sit in the house." So I left Cudjo sitting in his door with his bare feet exposed to the cloud of mosquitoes that swarmed in the shade of the inside of his house. Chapter 2. The King Arrives. The next day about noon, I was again at Kazula's gate. I brought a gift this time, a basket of Georgia peaches. He received me kindly and began to eat the peaches at once. Mary and Martha, the twin daughters of his granddaughter, wandered up to the steps. The old man's love of these children was quite evident. With glad eyes, he selected 4 of the finest peaches and handed 2 to each little girl. He scolded them on off to play with affectionate abuse. When they were gone, he looked lovingly after them and pointed to a little clump of sugar cane in the garden. "See that cane?" he asked. I nodded that I did. "Well, I plant that cane. 'Tain't much, but I grow dat so when Martha and Mary come to me and say, 'Grandpa, I wanted some cane,' I go cut and give 'em." There is a large peach tree in the yard that bears small but delicious clingstone peaches. They were beginning to ripen. The old man gave me one or two and put away one for each of the twins. I was shown all over the gardens. Kazula was genial, but not one word about himself fell from his lips. So I went away and came again the following day. I brought another gift, a box of B-brand insect powder to burn in the house to drive out all the mosquitoes. He was in a vocal mood and could scarcely wait until I set the powder burning to talk about his Africa. So we settled on the porch and he talked. I reminded him that he'd been telling me about the chief's losing a wife under such unfortunate circumstances, and about his grandfather's compound. "Now, don't forget it, nothing. I remember everything since I defied yo. Yeah, my grandpa, he a officer of the king. He be with the king everywhere he go, you understand me? Therefore, you understand me, one man, he kill a leopard, well, the king don't care about he kill a leopard, but the law say that when a man kill a leopard, he got to bring it to the king. The king don't want to take the beast away from the man but kill it, you understand me? But he got to take the big hairs, whiskers, to grow round the mouth. They're very poison, and the king don't want none of the people to get a kill. Some men's they wicked, you understand me, and they take the hairs and make the poison. Therefore, you know the king say when any man kill the leopard, he got to cover the head so no woman can see it and bring the leopard to the king. Then the drums go beat, and callie all brave chiefs come discuss this leopard that been killed. The king, he keep the head, the liver, the gall, and the skin. That always belong to the king. It all make it different medicine, all the body. It he dried and make it more medicine, too. But some tribe make fetish and eat the flesh, so they eat the medicine, you know. Therefore, when a man kill the leopard and take the hairs, before he let the king know he killed the leopard, they kill that man. He a wicked man. One man, you know, he kill a leopard. He cover the head and tie the body to a young tree, tied by the feet to a pole so that it could be carried. Well, the king call all the chiefs and they come looky. They take off the cover from the head and the king look at the hairs. He see one hair, it gone from the hole in the face where it grow. All the chief, they looky too. They see the hair ain't there. So they call the man. The king say, "Well, you kill this beast?" The man say, "Yeah, I kill him." "How you kill this leopard?" "With the spear I kill him." "Did you touch the head?" "No, I don't touch the head at all. I only a common man, and I know the head belong to the king, so I don't touch it." The king looky at the head, and looky at the man. He say, "How is it this beast got the hole for the hair, but one hair not there? Tell me where the hair is. I see where it pull out. Who is it that you want to kill?" The man say, "I don't want killing nobody. I ain't touching the hair. That's the truth now. If I touch the hair, let NCBD, that is, may I be turned over to the executioner." NCBD being the name for the executioner. Well, they search the man and find the hair. Then they try him. All day, they talk palaver. So next day, they find him guilty. So they say he got to die. Be a wicked man. Would expect to kill somebody with the hair. Therefore, you understand me? They tie him by the left foot and wait for Akuire Usen. King's Day, or Great Day. All executions being saved for this day, though a few are executed on the Queen's Day. Then they take him to the place of sacrifice. The king come with his seat, and all the chiefs bring their stool too. They seated theyself and they drum beat. it speak with the voice of the king. Then three insipidi come in the place and dance. One have a mouthpiece that rattle. He shake the mouthpiece that rattle. He shake the mouthpiece and sing. What he sing? Kocho going tell you. On a great day like this, we kill the one that is evil. On a day like this, we kill the bad one. Who would command the poison one from the leopard to kill us? On a great day like this, we kill him. Who would kill the innocent? He dance some more with the drum and the two other dancing with him. Then he sing some more. A great knife that eats no other blood but human blood. Let it kill him. It a great knife. It feed the earth. A great knife that eats no other blood but human blood. They dance some more when the king make it a sign. They dance up to the man where he tied at and with one lick, choppy the head off. The head fall to the ground and the mouth works so. It open and shut many time. But quick, they put a piece of the stick from the banana tree in the mouth. Then they can open the jaw when they get it ready. If they don't do that, the jaw close and they can't get it open no more. The body of the man, they bury it in the ground. The head, they put it in the sacrifice place with the other heads. The king go back to his village, but the chief have caught every day. All day, somebody say to him, "This man, touch my wife. This a man commit adultery." Everything be done open there. Not so many secrets. When a man kills somebody there, he be tried open and all the boys and men in the village hear the trial. I don't know how come he done it, but one man kill another one with the spear. So they arrested that man and tie his hands with palm cord. Then they pick up the dead man and carry him to the public square, the marketplace, you understand? Then they send message by the drum to the king in the village where he at to come set on the trial and side the case. In Africa, you understand, if somebody steal or commit adultery, the chief of the village, he try him. But if a man kill somebody, then they send for the king and he come and side the case. Therefore, when this man spear the other one to the breast, they send word for the king to come. The old folks, you understand me, the wise ones, they go out in the woods and get the leaves, they know which ones, and mash the leaves with water. Then they paint the dead man all over with this so he don't spoil till the king come. Maybe the king don't get there till the next day. When the king come, my grandfather, he come with him. Before anybody see the king, we know he is almost there because we hear the drum. When a little chief travel, he go quiet. But when the king go any place, you understand me, the drum go before to let the people know the king come. That night, everybody sit up with the dead man all night and eat meat and drink palm wine and banana beer. Late the next day, you understand me, the king come with the chiefs of the other villages to help him side the case. So the chief of our village, he went out a short way to meet the king. Then he put down and kill cows and goats. It too late that day to hold a trial, you understand me. So they decide to hold it next day. So they did. The king, he takes a special seat they bring for him, and the chiefs from the other towns, they sit on their stool of rank in different places around the square. The dead man is lying on the ground in the center where everybody see him. The man that kill him, he tied where folks can see him too. Therefore, they try the man. They ask the man why he kill this other one. He say the man work juju against him, so his child died, and his cows, they stay sick all the time. The king say, "If this man work juju against you, why don't you tell the chief and the headman of the village? Why don't you tell the king? Don't you know we got law for people that work juju? You ain't supposed to kill the man." So they talk, and all the chiefs sitting round, they ask him questions too. In Afriki, the law is the law, and no man can make out he crazy like here and get excused from the law. If you kill anybody, you going die too. They going kill you. So the king say, I hear the evidence, but this man got no cause to kill that other one. Therefore he must die. The man stand there. He don't cry. He don't talk. He just looks straight at the king. Then all the chiefs, they get around the king, and they talk he while ain't nobody know what they say but them. Then all the chiefs, they go back and take their seats again. Then the drums begin to play. The big drum, Katakumba, the drum that speaks like a man, it begins to talk. And the man, what is in Sibidi, he begin to dance. They lead the murderer out into the center of the square. The Insibidi, he dance. He gestures. And as he dance, he watch the eye of the king and the eye of all the chiefs. One man will give him the sign. Nobody know which one will give the sign. They said that when they was whispering together. Therefore, the executioner dance until he get the sign of the hand. Then he dance up to the murderer and touch his breast with the point of the machete. He dance away again. And the next time, he touch the man's neck with his knife. The third time that he touch the man, other men rush out and seize the murderer and take at the palm cord and stretch him face to face upon the dead man and tie him tight so he can move himself. When the executioner touch the murderer with his knife, that is a sign that he is dead already. So they wrap the cord around his neck and around the neck of the dead man. They wrap the cord around his body and around the body of the dead man. They wrap his arm and the dead man's arm with the same cord. His leg is wrapped as one with the leg of the dead man he done killed. So they leave him there. His nose is tied to the nose of the dead man. His lips touch the lips of the corpse. So they leave him. The king and the chief talk palaver about other things while they watch the struggles of the murderer. Sometime, if he be a strong man, and the person he kill be little, he manage to get up and go a little away with the body. But if the corpse be heavy, he lay right there till he die. If he cry for water, nobody pay no attention to him, because he is dead since the machete first touch him. So they say, how can a dead man want water? If he cry to be cut loose, nobody pay attention to him. They say, how can a dead man want to be loose? The other dead man don't cry. How come this man cry? So they leave him there. But people watch until he die too. How long it take? Sometime he die next day. Sometime 2 or 3 days. He don't live long. People can stand the smell of the horse, the cow, and other beasts. But no man can stand the smell in his nostrils of a rotten man. Chapter 3. When they tried the man that steal the leopard hair, it did time to cut grass so it don't choke the corn. Before the grass be dry enough to burn, my grandpa, he takes sick in his compound. How come he takes sick? Cutcho don't know. A little boy, and I don't know why he die. But Cutcho know his father take him to the compound of his father. I didn't see him after he died. They bury him right away so no enemy come look down in his face and do his spirit harm. They bury him in the house. They dig up the clay floor and bury him. We say in the Africa soil, we live with you while you alive. How come we can't live with you after you die? So you know they bury a man in his house. The coffin sitting there just like he in there. The people come fetch you presents and place them in the coffin. The first wife, she sat at the head of the coffin. When somebody came, she cried. She cried with a song. The other wives, they join in and cry with her. When we come in, the chief wife of my grandpa got up from the head of the coffin and throw the veil off her face. The other wives throw off the veil too. The chief wife, she weepy very loud and said, it is 40 years since he married me, and now you find me a widow. Only yesterday he was worried about his wives and children, and here he lies today, in need of nothing. My father say, oh, the ground eats the best of everything. Then he weepy too. The chief wife, she cry some more, and the other wives cry and shake the voice, ay, ay, ay. The chief wife say, he was a wonderful man. Then my father say, that is true. The ground can prove it. Then we set ourselves on the floor, and the wives cover up their faces and get it quiet. The man sorry he did too. They come bring presents and look at the coffin. They drink palm wine and sing sorrowful for him a song. O todo o wa, en lo ya li, o uran kanira ra kaniro ro. Then somebody else come, and the chief wife she rise and start to weeping again. It very sad. They see the head of all the wives is shaved. They see the cover over the face. Therefore, you understand me. Everybody feels sad. The first wife, she cry and say, how long since we were married, and now we are nothing but a widow. The husband would know how to keep a woman. The husband would know how to prepare a house. The husband would know every secret of women. The husband what knows what is needed and gives it without asking. How long since we were married, and now we are nothing but a widow. They call my grandpa brave and praise-giving names. Then they cry with another song. Whoever shake the leaf of that tree, a sweet shrub, we are still smelling it. Whoever kill our husband, we shall never forget. The wives cry like that every time somebody come here. When nobody came, they sat quiet. 2 years they must be widow. 1 year, they don't touch your water to the face. They wash it always with tears. In the Africa soil, the women grieve for their husband like that, you understand me? All day, all night, people come. And every time somebody come, the women cry. Kazula got that remote look in his eyes, and I knew he had withdrawn within himself. I arose to go. You going very soon today, he commented. Yes, I said. I don't want to wear out my welcome. I want you to let me come and talk with you again. Oh, I don't care you come see me. Could you like have company? Now I go water the tater vines. You see, can you find ripe peach on the tree and get it some take home? I put the ladder in the tree and climbed up in easy reach of a cluster of pink peaches. He saw me to the gate and graciously said goodbye. Don't come back till the next week. Now I need choppy grass in the garden. Chapter 4. In the 6 days between my visits to Kazula, I worried a little lest he deny himself to me. I had secured 2 Virginia hams on my trip south, and when I appeared before him the following Thursday, I brought him one. He was delighted beyond his vocabulary, but I read his face, and it was more than enough. The ham was for him. For us, I brought a huge watermelon right off the ice, so we cut it in half, and we just ate from heart to rind as far as we were able. Then it was necessary to walk it down, so he showed me over the old landmark Baptist church at his very gate, where he is the sexton. Watermelon, like too many other gorgeous things in life, is much too fleeting. We lightened our ballast and returned to the porch. Now you want me to tell you some more about what we do in the Africa soil? Well, you good to me. I don't care, I tell you something. It too hot I work anyhow. My father, he name Ololuwe. He not a rich man. He had 3 wives. My mama, she named Nafondlolu. She the second wife. Now that's right. Now no telling you I the son of the chief wife. That ain't right. I the son of the second wife. My mama have 1 son before me, so I her second child. She have 4 more children after me. But that ain't all the children my father got. He got 9 by the first wife and 3 by the third wife. When the gulls marry, they like see how many children they can have for their husband. Aren't there some barren women? I asked. No, they all get children by their husband. If they don't get any babies, they go talk to the old folks. Then the old ones go in the bush and get it the leaves and make a tea and give the girls something to drink. Then they get it babies for their husband. Sometimes a woman don't never get it no baby, though. Cudjo don't know why. In the compound, I play games with all the children my father got. We wrestle with one another. We see which one can run the fastest. We climb the palm tree with coconut on it, and we eat it at. We go in the woods and hunt the pineapple and banana, and we eat it at, too. Know how we find the fruits? By the smell. Sometimes our mamas say we run play enough. They tell us, "Dad, that too. Come sit down, and I tell you stories about the animals when they talk like folks." Cudjo don't know the time when the animals talk like folks. The old folks, they tell me that. Cudjo like very much to listen. I said, "I like to hear stories too. Do you remember any other stories your mama told you?" "Well," said Kasula, "I tell you the story next time you come set with me. Now I tell you about Cudjo when he a boy back into Africa." One day, the chief sent word to the compound. He wants to see all the boys that done see 14 rainy seasons. That making me very happy because I think he gonna send me to the army. I then almost 15 rainy seasons old. But in the Africa soil, they teach it the boys long time before they go in the army. Therefore, you understand me, when the boy about 14, they start training him for the war. They don't go fight right away, no. First, they got to know how to walk in the bush and see and not show theyself. Therefore, first the fathers, elders, take the boys on journey to hunt. Sometime it go and come back before night. Sometime it 2-3 sleeps, nights. They got to learn to step on the ground, tracks. They got to know whether what they hunt turned this way or that way. They learn to break the branch and turn it so they can find their way back home. They got to knot the long leaf so the folks behind can know to follow. The fathers teach us to know a place for the house, a campsite, and how we must chop a bark of the biggest tree so somebody else would go running, traveling, can know it a good place to sleep in. We make the hunt many times. We shoot the arrows from the bow. We chunk a spear. We kill the beasts and fetch them home with us. I'm so glad I'm going to be a man and fight in the army like my big brothers. I like it beating the drum, too. They teach us to sing the war song. We sing when we walk in the bush and make like we go and fight the enemy. The drum talking with us when we sing the song. Ofu, ofu, tiggy, 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 batim. Ofu, ofu, tiggy, 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 batim. Ofu, batim, enko ese. When the day breaks, the cock shall crow. When the day breaks, the cock shall crow. When the day breaks, the cock shall crow. When someone crosses our roof, we shall tear a nation down. The actual meaning is, when we get there, we shall make our demands, and if we are crossed, we shall tear down the nation who defies us. Every year they teach us more war, but the king, Akiayon, say he don't go make no war. He make us strong, so nobody don't make war on us. We know the secret of the gates, so when the enemy come and we don't know they come, we can run, hide ourselves in the bush, then they don't see nobody, they go away. Then we come behind them and fight till they all dead. 4 or 5 rainy seasons it keep on like that. Then I grow tall and big. I can run in the bush all day and not be tired. Kazula ceased speaking and looked pointedly at his melon rind. There was still lots of good red meat and a quarter two of juice. I looked at mine. I had more meat left than Kazula had. Nothing was left of the first installment but a pleasant memory. So we lifted the half-rinds to our knees and started all over again. The sun was still hot, so we did the job leisurely. Watermelon halves having ends like everything else, and a thorough watermelon eating being what it is, a long, overstuffed silence fell on us. When I was able to speak, somehow the name Juju came into my mind, so I asked Kazula what he knew about it. He seemed reluctant to answer my question, but finally he did so. I tell you what I know about the Juju. What do old folks do in the Juju house? I don't know. I can't tell you that. Not too young yet. That don't reach in me. I know that all the grown men, they go to the mountain once a year. It have something to do with making the weather, but what they do there, Kudja don't know. Now, that's right. I don't make out I know what go on with the grown folks. When I come away from Afiki, I only a boy 19-year-old. I have one initiation. A boy must go through many initiations before he become a man. I just initiate one time. One day, I was in a marketplace when I see a pretty girl walk past me. She's so pretty, I follow her a little way, but I don't speak. We don't do that in Afiki. But I like you. One old man, he saw me watch the girl. He don't say nothing to me, but he went to my father and say, your boy is about breaking the corn. He is getting to be a man and knows the secret of man. So put goats down or a cow, and let us fix a banquet for him. So my father say, all right. But first they don't fix the banquet for me. They have in Afiki a small stick on a string, and when they make it go round fast, it roar like the lion or the bull. They have three kinds. One, they call it the he, one the she, and one they call it the dog, cause they make it bark that way. The bull roar. No woman must hear this thing. If she do, she die. So they stay inside and shut the door tight. They put me in the initiation house. After a while, I hear a great roaring outside the door, and they say to me, go see where that is. Soon as I went outside, I don't hear it at the door no more. You sound way off in the bush. They tell me to go in the bush to hunt it. As soon as I go in the bush to find out what it is, I hear it behind me. I hear it behind me, in front of me, everywhere. But I never find it. The men are playing with me. Way after a while, they take me into the banquet and tell me the secret of the thing that make that sound. At the banquet, they make me sit and listen with respect. They tell me, you are just below us. You are not yet a man. All men are still fathers to you. There's plenty of roast meat and wine at the banquet, and all the men, they pinch in my ear tight to teach me to keep the secrets. Then I get a peacock feather to wear. In American soil, I see plenty of women's wear the peacock feather, but they don't know what they do. In African soil, a boy got to get plenty of secrets inside that he don't talk before he get it the peacock feather. Chapter 5. When I get it a peacock feather, I stand round the place where the chief talk with wise men. I hope they see Kudjo and think he a grown man. Maybe they call me to the council. The fathers don't never call me, but I like it very much to be there and listen when they talk. I like it go in the marketplace, too, and see the pretty gals with the gold bracelets on the arm from the hand to the elbow. Oh, they look very fine to Kudjo when they walk it. They sling the arms so, and the bracelet ring. I like hear that. It sounds so pretty. One day, I see one girl I like very much to marry, but I too young to take a wife. But I like her. I think about her all the time. Therefore, I go home and say to my folks, be careful how you treat such and such a girl. They look at me. Then they go ask for the girl to be my wife when I get a little older. One day, therefore, I in the market. Three men come, what's strange to us. They say they from Dahomey, and they want to see our king. The king say, all right. He talk with them. They say, you know the king of Dahomey? Akiyayon say, I have heard of him. The men from Dahomey say, then you know all the strong names he got. You know he got one name, Tenge Makangfengpa, a rock. The fingernail cannot scratch it, see? You know they speak about him and say, Kini, 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 Lion of Lions. Some say, an animal done cut its teeth, evil done enter into the bush. The bush, meaning the surrounding tribes who feel the sharpness of the homie's tooth. This king sent to you and say he wish to be kind. Therefore you must send him the half your crops. If you don't send it, he make war. Our king Akiyayon say, as to you king, did he ever hear the strong name of Akiyayon? They call me Mouth of the Leopard. That he take hold on, he never let go. Tell him the crops, in mine they belong to the people. I can't send and take the people crops to send to the king of Dahomey. He got plenty land. Let him stop making slave hunt on other people and make his own crops. The king of Dahomey don't like that message, but Akiyayon so strong, he afraid to come make war, so he wait. The king of Dahomey, you know, he got very rich catching slaves. He keep his army all the time making raids to grab a people to sell to the people of Dahomey. Don't have no time to raise gardens and make food for themselves. Maybe the king of Dahomey never come make raid in Tekoi. But one traitor from Tekoi go in the Dahomey. He a very bad man and the king of Tekoi say, leave this country. That man want big honors in the army, so he go straight in the Dahomey and say to the king, I show you how to take it, Tekoi. He tell them the secret of the gates. Therefore, you understand me. They come make war, but we don't know they come fight us. They march all night long and we in the bed sleep. We don't know nothing. It about daybreak. When the folks that sleep get wake with the noise when the people of Dahomey break the great gate. I not woke yet, I still in bed. I hear the gate when they break it. I hear the yell from the soldiers while they choppy the gate. Therefore I jump out the bed and looky. I see the great many soldiers with French gun in the hand and the big knife. They got the women soldiers too, and they run with the big knife and make noise. They catch people, and they saw the neck like this with the knife. Then they twist the head so, and it come off the neck. Oh, Lord, Lord. I see the people get a kiss so fast. The old ones, they try run away from the house, but they dead by the door, and the women soldiers got their head. Oh, Lord. Kodjo wept sorrowfully and crossed his arms on his breast with the fingers touching his shoulders, his mouth and eyes wide open as if he still saw the gruesome spectacle. Everybody, they've run to the gate so they can hide theyself in the bush, you understand me? Some never reach the gate. The women soldier catch the young ones and tie them by the wrist. No man can be so strong like the women soldiers from the Dahomey. So they cut off the head. Some they snatch the jawbone while the people ain't dead. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. The poor folks with their bottom jaw tore off their face. I run it fast to the gate, but some of the men from Dahomey, they there too. I run it to the next gate, but they there too. They surround the whole town. They at all the 8 gates. One gate looking like nobody there, so I make haste and run it towards the bush. But the man of Dahomey, they there too. Soon as I get out the gate, they grabbing me and tie the wrist. I beg them, please, let me go back to my mama, but they don't pay what I say, no attention. they tear me with the rest. While they catching me, the king of my country, he come out the gate and they grab him. They see he the king, so they very glad. Therefore, you understand me, they take him in the bush, where the king of Dahomey wait with some chiefs till Tekoi be destroyed. When he see our king, he say to his soldiers, bring me the word changer, public interpreter. When the word changer came, he say, ask this man why he put his weakness again the line of Dahomey. The man changed the words for our king. Akion listen. Then he say to the Dahomey king, why don't you fight like men? Why you don't come in the daytime so that we can meet face to face? The man changed the words so the king of Dahomey know what he say. Then the king of Dahomey say, get in line to go to Dahomey so the nations can see I conquer you and sell Akion in the barracoon. Akion say, I ain't going to Dahomey. I born a king in Tekoi where my father and his father's rule before I was born. Since I been a full man, I rule. I die a king, but I not be no slave. The king of Dahomey ask him, you not going to Dahomey? He tell him, no, he ain't going off the ground where he is the king. The king of Dahomey don't say no more. He look at the soldier and point at the king. One woman soldier step up with the machete and chop off the head of the king and pick it off the ground and hand it to the king of Dahomey. When I see the king dead, I try to escape from the soldiers. I try to make it to the bush, but all the soldiers overtake me before I get there. Oh, Lord. Lord, when I think about that time, I try not to cry no more. My eyes, they stop crying, but the tears running down inside me all the time. When they men pull me with them, I call my mama name. I don't know where she is. I don't see none my family. I don't know where they is. I begged the men to let me go find him, my folks. The soldiers say they got no ears for crying. The king of Dahomey come to hunt slave to sell. So they tie me in the line with the rest. The sun, it just rising. All day they make us walk, the sun so hot. The king of Dahomey, he ride in the hammock. And the chiefs with him, they got hammock too. For me, I walk. The men of Dahomey, they tie us in the line, so nobody run off. In their hand, they got the head of the people they kill in Tekoi. Some got 2-3 head they carry with them to Dahomey. That's so sad for my home. I ain't getting hungry that day. But I glad when we drink the water. Before the sun go down, we come by a town. It got a red flag on the bush. The king of Dahomey send men with the word changer to the town, and the chief come in the hammock and talk with the king. Then he take down the red flag and hang a white flag. What they say, Cutto don't know. But he bring the king a present of yams and corn. The soldiers make fire and cook the grub and eat it. Then we march on. Every town the king send message. We sleepy on the ground that night, but the king and the chiefs hang their hammock in the tree and sleepy in them. Then nothing don't harm them on the ground. Poor me, I sleepy on the ground and cry. I ain't used to no ground. I think here too about my folks and I cry. All night I cry. When the sun rise, we eat and march on to Dahomey. The king send word to every time we pass it, and the headman come out. If they got a red flag, that mean they agree they ain't gonna pay no tax to the Dahomey. They say they will fight. If it a white flag, they pay to Dahomey what they asked of them. If it a black flag, that mean that the ruler is dead and the son not old enough to take the throne.